Blog Talk Radio.
If I were you, I'd get lawyer Jesus. I wouldn't wait, I'd maintain. This is something you can't get around, no matter what you do. Just as sure as you can hear my voice tonight, one day he's got a word for you. But you know what's
Caleb. You can't hide. Amen, amen. Give God the glory. Praise him. I am your host, Elder QT Docs. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Amen. You can't run. You can't hide no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter, I don't care what kind of cave you try to run into. You can't run. You can't hide. He'll find you no matter what. Amen. Amen. Today, once again, is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT Docs. Amen. God is just an awesome God. Let us pray, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for today. We thank you, dear Lord, for all you have done and what you're about to do. We thank you for covering us with the blood of the Lamb, dear God, covering us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, covering us 77 times 70 on each and every one of us. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the listening audience. We thank you for those that's being obedient to his word and just want to receive and consume and digest and just thirst for more. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be coming to you out of John 21. I'm going to be just skipping around a little bit, but it's going to basically be out of John 21. To 1 through 19. But anyway, we're going to be talking about another day's journey. You know, and that another day's journey, you see, is another chance for us to get right with God, get right with man. Amen. And my family and my friends, I am so thankful that the Lord has brought us together one more time. And for that, I am truly grateful to be here to speak before you. You know, when I stop to look back over my life and think about all the good days, the bad days, the ups and downs, and I still can't complain because on this journey called life, we are expected to encounter what we consider good days, and there are times when things fall completely out of our control. Amen. And we tend to label those as our bad days or bad hair day or, you know, it's just not going right or not so good of a time. But nevertheless, I do believe that God knows that plans, our plans, his plans for us, that he has for each one of us, for our lives. I am just thankful on today that through it all, through it all. But God, he still gave us another chance, another day to make this Christian journey. And for that, I just want to encourage you, encourage me, encourage anybody, somebody, someone on today, and let you know that Jesus loves you and don't give up and don't give in to Satan's devices. Just stop right where you are. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Knowing that as long as we have breath in our body, we still have a chance, still have another day to make that journey, to get it right with the Lord. Amen. Amen. And Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a picture. Excuse me, and a future. Amen. This is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I am your host, Elder QT Docs. Amen. We're going to be talking about another day's journey. Another day is another chance for us to get it right with man. It was an individual that put this deposit together. He stated, he made this little statement. He said, if your bank deposit in your checking account the sum of $86,400 each day, but would not allow you to carry over any balance from one day to the next, what would you do? I know what all of us will probably do, and I suspect we all will do it. We will draw out every cent every day and use it to our advantage. Because if you can't carry it over the next day, because if you leave it in there, you're going to lose it. You see, what I'm saying is, you know, we have such a bank. And I call this bank time. Every morning, it credits us with 86,400 seconds. Every midnight, we forfeit whatever of this we fail to invest for a good purpose. It carries over no balance. But each day, God's mercy and grace opens up a new account for us. Each night it burns the record of that day. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours alone. There is no going back. It is up to each of us to invest wisely this precious funds of hours, minutes, and seconds in order to profit from it the most. You see, we have to get the most out of life. We have an assignment, and we have to complete that assignment. Do what we can, because we have 86,400 seconds a day. The next day is not promised to us, because when we carry on to the next day, we don't have that 86,400 seconds anymore. It starts all over again. God gives us new mercy. Amen. So no matter what time we spent, particularly for Christians, for our saints, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, because each day God credited us. He credited to our account 86,400 seconds of time to be used creatively, lovely, faithfully, patiently, honestly, trustfully in God's service. Since our time here is finite and brief in the grand scheme of things, so to speak, we cannot afford to squander 1 second of it. but doing our time in this life here on earth, should we waste a day, which most of us, including myself, on a regular basis, our God of second chance, that journey for tomorrow is always prepared to deposit that 86,400 seconds into our account the very next day. His grace and mercy. We see this in our, you know, we see this in gospel, in that gospel of John, you know, 21. You know, God's, you know, Jesus makes another, you know, that post-resurrection, because his disciple was going through much, so much during that, during Jesus' crucifixion. And we know that they were confused. They didn't know where to go after Jesus left them here. But they were happy that they knew that Jesus' word said he would be back. So to put it in context, what I'm saying is that Jesus appeared to his disciple twice during his resurrection. But he was not content or present time and didn't immediately show himself again, because his disciples decided, well, you know, it's all over with now. You know, we might as well just go back home and do what we're doing. And the disciples left Jerusalem, for their own home in Galilee and within the region, and they tend to end the respect for, to lose perspective on their lives, on what they were doing, you know, for the 3 years that they were with Jesus. You know, it is a natural response, like we all know that given the circumstances, you know, that happened in the recent weeks that Jesus was crucified, and they've been, you know, the disciples were in an emotional roller coaster since the event of Good Friday. See, but we know that when things happen in our lives, we go through that emotional roller coasters, and we go, you know, through trials and tribulations. We know that we do lose sight. We do lose sight. But we do know, just like the disciples did, that they knew that Jesus somehow had cheated death. You know, while they were elated for his, you know, resurrection, you know, Jesus was, they just was confused. They didn't know what to do because, you know, their leader wasn't there. And they were exhausted and confused about their own future. Sometimes we get to that point where things happen, and calamity and tragedy happen in our lives. We get confused. We tend to go back to doing the old things. Some of us go back to drugs and drinking or bad habits because now we're distraught. We don't know what to do. And they went back to their homes and returned to what they knew best, which was fishing. You know, that Sea of Tiberias or Sea of Galilee, as we familiarly know it, it represents that safe harbor for the disciples. We know that when we run into problems, you know, we run back home. We run back to something that is familiar. That familiarity breeds contempt, and we know that. And so we'll run back to what we used to do because we feel that it's safer now. Now I don't have to worry about the future anymore because I think I got it all right here. But for ones who went fishing, you know, they were content because they knew that it could satisfy whatever that pain that was bothering them. They know that doing this fishing, by fishing, they're satisfied. It relieve all the stress and that uncomfortability that they were experiencing. See, Jesus came and he called them to follow him. The same way with Jesus does us. He calls us to, you know, when things happen, he said, you know, don't give up. Don't give in. You know, stand on the wall. Follow me. After all, it was by catching fish that they had made a living. And now that Jesus is gone, they return to their safe harbor of fishing. It's hard to sympathize with the disciples because their lives have been turned upside down by the relationship with Jesus. The attraction of the familiar is particularly strong, especially after a crisis. We know that after a crisis, it's hard sometimes to get back into the swing of things, to get back on track, to not to be derailed. It's hard, but it offers a comfort and a sense of stability where you think you can go back to your put on your old shoes again and put on your old clothes again and start walking the way you used to walk. But how many of us would have returned to the security of that familiarity? Most of us would try to. However, Jesus has called and commissioned his disciple to be a witness to the world, like he called us, that reconciliation. Yeah, his entire ministry and the message he came to share would be lost without the disciples. Consequently, Jesus appeared to the disciple again early that morning along the shore of the lake. That Jesus will come to us in our times of trouble. He will come to us and he will ask us, you know, like he will be like somewhat disappointed. You know, you followed me all these years and you're going to let a little setback, you know, allow you to moonwalk in the wrong direction. Now, can you imagine a moment what Jesus felt as he stood by the lake and saw his disciples? The same moment he feels when he sees us. When we have followed him for years and we worship and praise him, and yet when something happened, we draw back and we become an introvert and a recluse and we start making excuses. See, but those on the boats, like the disciples, those on the boats, the heart of the team, Jesus knew that this was his heart, that they were the heart of his team that he raised to be his witness to the world like he did for us. They were his essential plan to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. And that's what he put us here for. We have an assignment to spread the gospel, to spread the good news, no matter what's going on, no matter how life hits us. Amen? Yet they spend their night fishing. Some of us spend our night crying. Had those years that the disciple was together meant anything to Jesus? Had the years that we had with Jesus all these years meant anything to us? Have they not heard or seen anything during that time? Have we not experienced God has done for us? Amen. How he pulled our feet out the mighty clay? Now, have they, had anything, experienced anything doing, Jesus had to be worried because he took them on a journey, another day, which gave them another chance to proclaim the word of God. But as the disciple came near the shore, Jesus asked if they had caught anything. They answer, they had not. So he told them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, which they did and were successful. It was then they recognized the man on the shore as Jesus. It's like we go to our prayer closet. And as we're in our prayer closet, we pray and we're praying for whatever the situation may have been, whatever the darts that was thrown at us. And Jesus came to us in that soft-spoken voice, and he asked us. He asked you, he asked me, don't you think it's time now? Are you ready? Let me drop your tears. Let me put those tears in a bottle for you, so you can carry on the assignment you was called to do. Amen. Yes, he was worried. But as the disciple came near to shore, they recognized Jesus. They answered. Jesus asked them a question, you know, as if they had been caught anything. And they said, no. And Jesus told them, hey, cast your net on the right side of the boat. But which they did, it was then they recognize the man. Like we recognize the voice when we pray in our prayer closet. But Peter, in his excitement, he jumped into the sea to get to Jesus, while the others brought the fish and filled the nets ashore. But see, Jesus had already prepared the fire, cooked some of the fish for breakfast, and they shared bread and fish together. See, Jesus has prepared a place before us. It's already prepared before us, even in the presence of our enemy. Amen? I hope you feel me today. You know, we look at Peter, and Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? In this instant, he was referring to the disciples. Of course, Peter replied that he did. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Amen? Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord. You know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter, now frustrated with these redundant questions, you know, people keep asking the same question over and over, a question about, you know, your faithfulness, your trust, you know, your honesty, your integrity. But Jesus replied, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In this exchange, we know that Jesus was challenging Peter to be about what he envisioned when Jesus saw in Peter the potential to be the foundation of the church. Jesus told us to get up, pick up our bed, and walk no matter what, because Jesus sees in us the potential we have in us. We all have that potential, every last one of us. He was offering Peter another day to pick up the mantle of servanthood and get on with the work he had been commissioned to do. Same with us. Jesus is telling us to get on, pick up the mantle that I have left you. Pick up the mantle that you have studied my words for so long. Pick up the mantle that you have in your heart. Pick up the mantle that allows the Spirit to lead you, so you can serve the people that I have commissioned you to do. Amen. God is just so good. God is just so good. You know, some 3 years earlier, Jesus had given Peter, given Simon Peter and the others another day, another journey, when he called them to drop their net and follow him. They had been witness to miracles as the lame walked. They witnessed the blind saw, the deaf heard, and the hungry was fed. They had the scriptures open to them through the teaching of Jesus. The scriptures are open to us through the Holy Spirit. We study to show ourselves approved. Amen? You see, I hope you're feeling what I'm saying. Speaking of that another day, another journey, that they was with Jesus, they had seen Jesus come back from the grave on the first Easter morning. Amen? But Jesus has given Simon a great new vision when he called him the rock on which he was going to build the church. But Simon had demonstrated he was anything but a rock. Sometimes we feel like we are cookie dough. We're just too soft to carry on the work of the Lord. We're too soft to proclaim the word of God. We are just too soft to get on top of the mountain and shout his name and give God the glory. See, Peter has not demonstrated those qualities of unflinching, of faithfulness when he denied Jesus 3 times. However, and here he was again, absent without leave, spending night fishing. But yet, despite his previous failure and unfaithfulness, Jesus is giving Peter the gift of another day, the gift of a second chance, the gift of another journey, the gift we mean another day to start, to be that rock, to fulfill that vision. Jesus has given us the same gift. He's given us that gift to stand up against drugs, stand up against alcohol, stand up against blasphemy, stand up against heresy. Jesus has given us that chance to stand up and proclaim his word. Stand up for those that cannot stand. Jesus is telling us, hey, be fruitful. Be that rock. Fulfill my vision. See, our God is a God of a second chance. Now, this is revealed throughout the scriptures, we all know. Look at Abraham and Sarah. We're beyond the age of bearing children. Isaac was born, Moses was born. Moses, while on the run from the Egyptian for murder, was called to go back to Egypt and confront Pharaoh. Elijah, at the point of suicide, was challenged by the still small voice of God to do the work he was charged to do. Then there's Paul's conversion. As we read, you know, through the Bible, that when he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the church, Jesus challenged him to become the church chief's apostle. But finally, our gospel lesson, you know, it just tells us, we know about the Gospel of John today. It tells us that we are given another day, another chance for another journey. When God interrupts our lives, as Jesus did with the disciples, early that morning by the Sea of Galilee, it has a way of bringing us face to face with what we should be about. All too often we like to be in that comfortability or in our safe harbor, their safe place. We like to retreat into the comfort of what we know and do so well, as opposed to being challenged to grow, to develop, to experience, and to follow. We like to look back instead of looking forward. Amen. But, you know, it's just, you know, that Peter might have protests. We protest sometimes. We question. But let somebody else feed your lambs. That's probably what he wanted to say. You know, Lord, just let somebody else feed your lambs. I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I'm worth my weight in salt. But however, you know, this is not enough. The gift of another day is the opportunity to put our deeds where our creeds are, what we believe. The gift of another day also brings with it the challenge to change, the challenge to be better. Amen. See, Peter could no longer be comfortable by easing back into his fishing. You know, we cannot be comfortable in our setting because God won't let us. I mean, he'll do everything to disturb our peace so we can get back on track. Amen. He now knew that the journey he had started with Jesus, like we know the journey we had started, you know, 3 years early for us, it was something like 20 years earlier or 15 years earlier or 50 years earlier or whatever. But before, you know, it's not over. Our assignment is not over. It was being given to us as a gift of another opportunity, another chance, another journey to what Jesus had envisioned for us to do. But see, all of us in our faith journey will need this gift of another chance, that gift of another journey. We need to stay committed until we grow into what God will have us to be. Amen? Do you feel me? It is not the task of a day, but rather one of all our days. We must be faithful, and faithful is not easy. It is not merely wishing for a better world, It is being ready to work for it every day, to realize that with each new day, we are being given the gift of opportunity, the gift of another chance, the gift of another journey. We too are being challenged to believe that that not only can we have the gift of another day, but in that day, amen, we can change, and changing change the world around us. Change the people around us. See, this is important to remember in light of the mass shooting, the terrorist bombing, and you know that's going on. Looking at the totality of these tragedies, in conjunction with the wars in the Middle East and all other problems that plague this world, we're talking about the virus, the COVID-19, the flu. Amen. There is still a lot of work to be done. If the success of Jesus, the mission, is in our hands, then there is no time to lose. We must carry on the work of the Lord. Amen. Jesus makes it clear that the gift of another day is not to be taken lightly. And that's something we have to realize, my brothers and sisters. We cannot take the gifts that God placed on us, and your gifts look good on you. We cannot take that gift and just squander it and place it on the nightstand and place it under the bed, put it in the closet, and forget about that gift, because there's another day. And in that another day, God given us that 86,400 seconds to use. Because that 86,400 seconds is not carry over the next day. It's not carry over. But with God's mercy and grace, he gives us that 86,400 seconds each and every day to be a blessing to someone. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. And there will come a day when there are no more days. See, when night falls, no man can work. You do what you can, when you can, why you can, whenever you can, when you have that opportunity, that second chance, that journey to do what God has assigned you to do, to be a blessing to someone, to encourage someone, to exalt someone. Jesus said to Peter, and is saying to us, he said that now is your opportunity to get on with the mission I have given you. Hey, man, doesn't that sound familiar? That's like a slap in the face when we don't do the work of God, what he is calling us to do. I mean, when we just lay back and think that everything is hunky-dory. You know, it's like pumpkin pie, you know, baseball, popcorn, hot dog, and whatever they call it, you know, it's not a game. He said to Peter, like he's saying to us, now is your opportunity to get on with the mission I have given you. Our God is an awesome God. He makes no mistakes. He's there when we need him. You might not see him. You might not hear him. But he's there. You probably can't touch him. But he is there. Our God is there. And it's that opportunity he's given us to get on. You know, get off our dairy air. You know, let's push on. You know, put one foot in front of the other. Let's make that move. Get on with the mission that he has given us. He's given us all an assignment to do. We all are reconciliators for Christ. We all can go out and speak the gospel and tell people the good news of what God has done for you, for me. We all have a testimony. We all can share that testimony. Do you take that gift that God has given us another day? Take that gift of another day. Take that gift of another chance. You take that gift of that another journey. And don't squander it. Be that agent of reconciliation in the world. I want you to wage peace and not war. Wage love and not hate. You know, you want to wage you want to wage strong and not weak. You want to feed the hungry. You want to fight for injustice. You want to encourage people. Right, saints, we want to be out there to encourage people, not discourage. We want to fight for injustice. Amen. We want to carry that love whenever we can, that love unconditional. We want to begin by reaching out to those. Amen. Reaching out to those out that's closest to you. Begin by reaching out to you, to your home, to, you know, to your family, and to your place of work, and to your church. Just drop that net. Just drop those nets. Those words of that God has proclaimed you to do. Just drop it. Drop it in the hearts of those you come across. Drop those words. You're dropping that net. When you drop that word, when you drop those words, you're dropping that net over them. You have just become a fisherman, a man. You just saved one soul. And as you leave your boat and get out of your comfort zone, Jesus said, when you do all these things that I have commissioned you to do, when you do all these things I have assigned you to do, when you do all these things that I have spoken to you through the Holy Spirit, when you get out of your comfort zone, follow me, because I have a place for you. I have prepared a place for you. Amen. I prepare that place. So you get out into the highways. You go into the highways and byways, and you compel others. Compel others to Christ. Let them know the goodness of God. Let them know that if they're thirsting, they can thirst no more. Amen. They can thirst no more. God is an awesome God. And see that the Lord is good. And he is so good. Amen. Let's not thirst anymore. Today is Thursday, thirst for truth. I am your host, Elder QT Docs. I want to just thank each and every one of you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, for just tuning in and try to receive something that has been said. Allow it to marinate in your spirit so you can just carry it, you know, savor it. So you can just carry it with you throughout the day, throughout the week. So you can share that flavor. Share that with someone. Give your testimony. Speak the word. And you just cast that net over whoever you spoke to. Amen. Thank you once again for being an obedient to God's Word, to the Holy Spirit, and for just tuning in, because God is an awesome God, and I just hope that someone receive this and carry this through. And if you're looking for a church home, my God, find a good Bible church. Just find a good Bible church that can appeal to your sense of taste, that can get you moving in the right direction. Amen. And just confess to our Lord Jesus Savior. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that he's here, that you know that he risen from the dead, and that he's here to pull you up from your bootstrap and carry you across the sand. And the only footprints you're going to see is his, because you won't see yours. Amen. Thank you. Thank you with and I love you with the love of Christ, and I continue to cover you, Pastor and Prophet Teresa and I, with our prayers to cover you, your family, and we constantly in prayer for each and every last one of you. And I just want to continue to thank you once again, and allow God to lead you and his countenance to shine upon you. Amen. And until we meet again, and as Brother Dave will say, I pray for you, you pray for me, and let's sit back and see what God can do. Amen. Have a beautiful, miraculous, glorious, supernatural day. Amen.
Elder, before you close out, I just wanted to make an announcement. Those that are on the line, please call back in at 6 p.m. We have another dynamic program that comes on. We have Brother David with FMAM broadcast, and it's a broadcast for men about men. So it's just something that you may want to tune into and call any men that you may know. Encourage them to call in, young men. Boys, and even females, you know, you want to know something about your spouse, or you want to know, you have questions, I just want to encourage you, call back in www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, or you can call in the same number, 646-668-2780, and you will not regret that you did. As elders coming forth every Thursday for truth. And then Brother Dave is on the Spirit of a Soldier on Tuesdays, and also I believe every other Thursdays. And I'm here every Wednesday. Every Wednesday talking about spiritual strategies for the Word, and the program goes on and on. But I just want to encourage you in the Lord as elder was going forth. Know that you have an assignment, you have a mission with a message. So cast your net so you can catch some fish. Amen. I just want to make that announcement. And if it's okay, Elder, thank you for an excellent job. Just stand on the wall in spite of what the enemy is trying to do. It won't work. If it's okay, I'll close out.
Yes, it is. That's fine.
Amen. Father, we just lift up our hands to you, God, and we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that you would come into the hearts of your people, and that you would move by your Spirit, and that you would cause a supernatural anointing to be upon those that are called to do the work of ministry. God, that we would not be worn down by Ike. We would not be worn down by things that doesn't matter. God, that we would be so sold out for you and the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom. So anything that's not like you, Father, God, we ask you to show it to us, that we would not only know it, God, that we would know how to handle it. So when the enemy brings these devices, God, that we will know as soon as they come, and that we will not spend any time on things that will take us away from serving you. So I decree and declare right now that our spiritual eyes are open, that we not only discern your spirit, we know your spirit, and your spirit is living within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. So we decree and declare that we're sold out for you. In the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray and we say, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I just want you to rejoice in the Lord and be glad, because it's according to your faith, be it unto you. Have a good evening, and please call back in at 6 o'clock. We'll be right here waiting. God bless everyone.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. When there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child.